Let's turn to the book of Galatians and chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I read first of all verse 6. Galatians 5 and verse 6. And we've been speaking on this subject. I'll just get into it in more detail. And it tells us here that this was Paul, and he said, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." So some were saying that they got to be circumcised. Some were saying that we are not circumcised. And those that were not of the circumcision were boasting that, you know, we know the word of God, we are not circumcised. And Paul said, whether you are circumcised or whether you are not circumcised, it doesn't really avail anything. It doesn't produce any benefit. It doesn't bring any results. It doesn't show, all right, any proof of your faith. But what will produce results and what will work is faith that worketh by love. Faith that worketh by love. Now, first of all, let's establish what he meant by faith that worketh by love. Some have said that the love he was referring to here is solely the love of God for us. That cannot be accurate if we read the entire, all right, scripture and what he was saying. What Paul was speaking about here, now we understand that the reason why we can love is because he first loved us. So we can't detach that, all right, this from that. The reason why the Bible says, since Christ so loved you, ought ye not also to love one another. However, the love he is speaking about here is the love that we demonstrate one to another. How do we know this is so? If you read from verse 1, where he started the thought, he said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So he was speaking about people that had come into the church and were bringing another, all right, teaching. And so he said, stand fast in that liberty where Christ has made you free, and don't be entangled in the yoke of bondage. And then in verse 13 he said, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion for the flesh," or to the flesh, "but in love to serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So this was the love he was referring to, the love through which we serve one another. And he said that our faith worketh by that particular kind of love. The love we use in between ourselves in serving one another. Now, we've looked at the fact that the Bible tells us that three things, all right, abide. They abide in three things. It says faith, it says love, and it says hope. And even in that scripture, we see that it's the love that we have one for another he was speaking to. For in 1 Corinthians 13:1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I have not charity," and that's not God's love for us, because that will always be there. So he says, "If I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge," he said, "if I have faith such that I can move mountains and have not charity," that's love, "I am nothing." And then it says, charity goes on, suffereth long, from verse 4, and describes that. That is, if this virtue is not in operation within my life, he said, I am nothing. So the faith, the love he was referring to was that love that we have one for another. Now it tells us these three things are in existence: faith, love, and hope. Now hope represents the vision, what we'll call the goal, what we'll ultimately call the destination. Now, what does faith do? The Bible says faith gives substance to the things that we hope for. So the hope there is imaginary there. is something that it's in our mind. But then faith now substantiates that. Faith causes that hope to materialize. Faith is that vehicle that takes us on that journey where we get enter into the reality of our dreams, of our hopes, and our vision. But the Bible says that that faith worketh, all right, by love. In other words, if faith is the vehicle, if faith is the car, then it tells us that that car works by love. Now, so if I say that I'm going somewhere with this car, first of all, we've got to understand that those who try to achieve their dreams, all right, and seek out the fulfillment of things, and they don't go about it by faith, then they've gotten out of the car and are trying to walk towards that place. Paul spoke about the Jews who went after righteousness, but they did not seek for it by faith. He said they sought not for that thing by faith, that they sought for it through what is called the works of the law. But then if I now say I'm going by faith, and I get into the car, and I say, well, my car didn't work properly, then the first thing you are going to do is that the mechanic there or the engineer is going to go straight to the engine of the car, which means that this car works or moves by this engine. So the first thing that you'll do is go to the engine of the car. That is, if a person's faith is not productive, then what we want to look at is what actually energizes and drives the faith. And that is the love of God within our hearts. So the mechanic tinkers with the engine to find out what is wrong with the vehicle or the car. And so we tinker with our love work in order to find out where we really are missing it in the faith thing. Now, many a times when people tell us that something didn't work, we keep re-examining faith. Now, that might be good, but we've got to understand that faith works by love. So we keep looking at it, at the way you said it, you know, at all of that. But let's first and foremost, since the Bible says the greatest is love, let us get the greatest right. So let's go to the real engine there, which is love, and look at the way in which we treat other people. Look at the way in which we handle issues, all right, and conflicts that we have with other people. Let's look at the way we respond when somebody makes an unkind remark about us, when we are despitefully used by others, when we hear that somebody, all right, is backbiting. How do we respond to that? That's what we should first and foremost tinker with, for the Bible says love cannot fail. So once the engine is switched on, which is love, love cannot. That's what the scripture says, cannot fail. Now, first of all, let's just look a bit at this subject of faith. The Bible says it is the substance of things hoped for. And many people that don't really understand, right, what the faith message is all about, misconstrue it and say certain things about it, all right, that is just really not right. And they talk about things that amount to naming it and claiming it about, you know, you just design something and then building positive affirmations, all right, and bringing yourself to a place where if you can believe that those things that you are affirming, all right, with your lips there, right, will come to pass, then probably you have that. That's not where faith actually begins. Faith actually begins where a person knows the will of God. In other words, you can only trust God for something that God told you that He will do, right? Which means that you go to God first of all for this thing that is called faith. And when we go there, we want to find out what God is saying about the situation. What is His plan? What is His will for that particular situation there. And in order to hear from God, we have to surrender our wills unto Him. That's the key to hearing from heaven, right? It's not, first of all, whether I pray or fast. It's whether I've decided to let go of my own agenda, right? To hear what God's agenda and what's on the mind of God. Remember, the Bible says that we should take heed, all right, to God's word as a more sure word of prophecy, as a light that shineth in a dark place. But it says we should have this in mind when we are doing that, that no prophecy of Scripture came according to the will of man. Therefore, this thing you are exposing yourself to is not subject to your own will, but that the prophets spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. In other words, the move of the Spirit or the wind of the Spirit, it blows whichever way it chooses. And it's not subject to human will nor manipulation. So the first thing is that I'm opening up myself to God. I do understand that God loves me beyond even the love that I have for myself. Therefore, whatever He has planned will be good. Whatever He has planned, I will find acceptable, will fit into my life like a hand into a glove, and that I will find it to be perfect, which means to make me whole and complete. But I have to go to Him to hear from Him on what His will is on this. So the starting point of faith, really, that's why when people talk about faith and holiness and say this faith and this holiness, they really don't understand what faith is. Neither do they understand what holiness is. Because the starting point of faith there is that a person has surrendered his will unto God to go and hear what God has to say, which means I'm not going to choose the outcome. I'm going to let you decide what you want to do about this. That's why Jesus said, I do nothing except that which I see, and I say nothing except that which I hear. And He said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is right, because I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father who is in heaven. So once that decision is made on the inside of you, hearing the Scriptures and getting relevant Scriptures, right, becomes really easy. You pray unto God and say, open the eyes of my understanding. Let me see what is contained right inside the word. And God is committed to that. And He will give you what we call prophetic scriptures or scriptures there that will prophesy directly into your situation. So you get God's word, which is the scriptures, right, for that particular situation. You get God's word, right, for it. Now, the next thing that you want to do, we've said this, once you get into faith here, the first thing that faith does is that faith speaks. Faith that substantiates, faith that causes a materialization of the dream begins to speak. It starts calling it into existence as though it were. It understands now that I have the backing of God for this. This is what God has said to me in this situation. Here is the scripture that fits into what God wants to do. Now it is not my own light, it is His own light that I'm reflecting. In other words, I've aligned myself with God. Now, even if it's something that it's your personal desire, then you take it to God in prayer and submit it to God. And what God will do is that He will reveal His thoughts concerning that. And when He reveals things to you, He reveals two things: His thoughts and then the intent of His heart. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's a discerner of thoughts and the intent of the heart. In other words, this is what God wants to do, and this is why He wants to do it. So He shows you the intent. And you can even see from that word intent that that's where the power is, which means that when I know God's purpose, when I know His intent, when I know why He wants this done, His intent there, which means that God is intentional, right? It's like He impresses Himself upon that particular.